Thank you. Thank you for the beautiful introduce. I'd like to welcome to each of you to the house of the Lord today, this morning. And I'd like to thank to the Lord for the opportunity that I have, or that they give us to glorify Him for the blessings that we receive every day, and especially, for the blessing to be here today. I see there's quite a few people here. I'm very happy to see you, and I'm pretty sure there's people watching over the live streaming, and would like to welcome to each of them. And my brother is right. We had a rough day yesterday, but it was beautiful. I haven't been at the woods for a long, long, long time. It was nice to hear the wind blowing through the trees and the noise that it makes. It's kind of peaceful and very cool, 70s. That was nice. And besides that, the activity that we there, and I believe there was over 68 miles or something like that. 60. That's too much for this little guy, and I'm feeling it right now. But other than that, I'm happy to be here. And there's a struggle when this time comes, and I understand that we all have that. But the Lord is always working in our hearts, in our minds, and the beauty of being Christian is that you know the law of God, that you know the things that He wants from you, the things that He wants you to do in your life, be kind to others, no backbiting, be a good example to those who surround you, and try to help each other. Those are the things that please God. I believe totally in my heart that when you do His will, He is happy for you. You know, the first song we sing, it says that, you know, that many will try to destroy His gospel, and it is true, but He's counting on you and I to continue on in this race that we are. I might have something that you want to hear today. I hope that the one of these comments, the scriptures, whatever I have here that God has put in my heart is beneficial for you today. I don't know, but perhaps God has an answer for you, whatever you've been asking Him, because our life is not easy. We're going through problems, through things that, we had to just kind of work it out and not give up. Yesterday, because the activity that we did, I had the worst cramp. Did I say it right? I hope I didn't say the bad word. Cramp in one of my legs. It was the worst. I never experienced anything like that. But if you don't nutrient yourself when you do outdoor activities, that you're gonna sweat and you're gonna lose all those carbohydrates or something like that, you know, those things that you need for your body. It's the same thing with the gospel. It's the same thing with the gospel. We need the gospel. We need to hear God's word. Our souls will be recharged again, and so that we may continue on fighting with this in this world that, you know, temptations and all those things that the enemy is always putting in front of you, because he's gonna be tempting you to do the wrong, and that's how he's gonna laugh of you in front of our Creator. You know, if you remember the when he was asked for permission to tempt Job. Makes me wonder. You call yourself a Christian, but that's when he comes in and trying to almost prove you. But only God knows your heart. Only God knows who you are, who you belong to. And so those are the things that we deal every day. And it's been a while for me to, I think it was for 3 weeks, I believe. Staying here, being here is, it reminds you that you are a child of God, that we're not alone, and all that we need to do is to do your best, to be close to God. I know, and I experience it myself, when it comes to read, I fall asleep. And maybe it's because of the age, but when I start reading, man, my eyes get so tired. And it's really hard, especially when you had a hard day, long day, work. Your mind is just super tired, but we have to do our best to get close to God. And by reading His Word, you know, we keep that fellowship with Him. And it's, it won't, you know, just like a fire, it won't shut up, you know. We have to continue up keeping the fire, you know, fire up, I guess, and which is, that's how the Holy Spirit works in you. And so, you know, when wrong things are going on up there and you know that you're not alone, that's when you, in your mind and your head, pray that God is always right there. This picture that I have here, it's just, I put it right there so I can, you can see it, so you can enjoy it as I start talking, you know, breaking the ice. This picture is actually a real bird that I saw in my work, and it's a roadrunner. It's a roadrunner, and every time I see a roadrunner in my work, I'm like, how is it that in the cartoon you are bigger than the coyote? You know, so every time I see him, I start singing the song. Do you remember the song from the Roadrunner cartoon, right? Because I'm like a cartoonish guy. I like cartoons. I like to laugh. I like funny stuff. And so that's a real bird. What I knew, what I find out about these birds is they are carnivorous. They eat meat. They eat meat. And that's something that I thought they would eat seeds or, you know, worms and stuff. But They hunt for meat. That is something. Well, I'm going to begin with the book of Luke, chapter 21, 34-36. And it says, and take heed to yourselves. This is Christ talking. Giving us a warning of those things that we are facing right now. So take heed to yourselves. Lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with suffering and drunkenness and cares of this life. And so the day come upon you unaware. For as a snare shall come and all of them that dwell in the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. That is, something. These are the words of Christ, came from Him. Makes me think, by saying these words, He really loves us. And He was trying to, you know, that was His purpose to be here, to to show us the way that we may that we may not be lost. I have a friend at work, and he was totally lost. And me and Rebecca were talking about it right now. So we were coming to church, and he made it out. He was drugs habits. A lot of people, it's very hard for them to make it out. He was in a hole. He was burying his own grave, let's put it that way. He lost a lot of bone, teeth, cheeks. He lost a lot of stuff because of the drugs. And he is so grateful. He's so grateful to God for helping him, for getting him out of the darkness. And so in our life, you know, we do things ignorantly. Does that make sense? We do things without thinking about it, the consequence. It's ignorance. But there's a lot of people out there, they do those things, you know. But then it makes me think about it. The scriptures talks about, you know, there's no way that you never heard about the gospel. You never heard about salvation. Because it's updated, in many languages. Almost everybody knows about Christ and who he is and what he wants about you. And what, you know, he cares for you, that he wants you to be safe, to be with him in his kingdom. And my friend find this way out. And now, every Sunday, he's in church, and he always remembers me, and he always send me a text, and it makes me think about it. I mean, I'm not doing a really good job myself. I should be remembering him, and not just him, like everybody else. Send a text message of uplifted text message, something, just to encourage you. And it made me think about it, you know. God in the beginning says, you know, he made Adam and Eve, you know, and what was one of the commandments that he gave them is to multiply yourselves, multiply. We need to multiply. Maybe not young couples that just got married, have more babies or whatever. It's more like multiply, you know, as a family. We need to share the gospel instead of talking people's backs. We need to show them the there is a God up there who cares about them, and he wants you to come to him. He wants you to come to him. I can tell you that being in the world, really, when you come to Christ, you don't miss much. You don't miss much. I mean, me and my brother got to have fun riding our bikes like a little kids and screaming and getting up there in the middle of the woods, which is echoes everywhere. And we just like, oh, look at that guy. You know, I've been a Christian. It doesn't stop you for being who you are. It doesn't stop you from being who you are. A lot of people knows me in my work. And when I have the opportunity, I do share the gospel. And that's what Christ has called us these days, to share the gospel, to multiply. Let us multiply. Your neighbor, maybe we get new neighbors. You know, Rebecca's always told me, you're kind of noisy. You're always looking through the window. I'm like, just looking to see who's up there, you know. I like to speak to people. I like to talk to people. So there's nothing wrong with that. It's better to know them than to talk bad about them. In Proverbs 3:5-6, I remember this scripture here that my brother Gary used a lot, so I'm going to borrow it today. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not into thy own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him. And all thy ways acknowledge him. And he shall direct you. He shall direct your paths. That's Those are the words that we want to hear. And when you're in trouble, get close to him. I mean, as he's telling us, you're not alone. I'm here. I will always be here. And that's amazing that right now, a lot of our families here in the church, they're going through a really hard time about losing their loved ones. And that is a time that we have to be ready for. Because it's coming, it will be here. We don't know when. Question is, are you ready for? Are you ready to be face to face with our Lord? That is our point of view, our ending line. At the end of this race, that is the gift that you want, see our Creator's face. And hopefully your name should be written down in the book of life. That's all is think about those things. That's what is keeping us, you know, from walking away. It's more like for keeping us here. What is coming is better than what we have right now. And so let's just try to do our best and continue on without stopping. There's a scripture that talks about this thing, the beam, and it says, "Judge not, that ye be not judged." This scripture is telling us exactly the things that we run into in daily life. And that's what I'm talking about. To do the right thing, not the worst. If you remember, I'm going to finish reading it because I drive my wife crazy when I stop. Did you not be judged? You should be judged. And with what measure you make, it should be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou mote that is in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in thy own eye? Or how will you say to thy brother, let me pull out that mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thy own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thy own eye, and then show the see clearly to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye. You know, the mote, I think to me, is like a splinter, but the beam is something bigger. I don't know if you have searched this scripture on images and on Google. I mean, this guy with this huge beam across his head, trying to take this little splinter from his brother's eye. I mean, it's giving you like an example. But this is what I'm talking about. You know, the love that we have of Christ teaches those things that we should not be part of it. We have to be a kind person, full of love, because that's what Christ says, that we're supposed to show love. And love will bring others towards you because they can see that you are a different person. It says that without love, we are nothing. We are nothing. And believe me, I try to work it out myself that I may be a blessing to someone, that I may be different and not be the same as the people in the world. And then that's who we are, because we are not part of this world. When we come to Christ, we give up the worldly stuff. Just like Moses there when he was in Egypt. He had to give up the comfort of his living and the buildings where he was, Christ had to come down from his kingdom and go through what he went through, which is why would he do that? It's because he's full of love, mercy, and he loves you. He wants the creation to be safe again after the first mistake that they make. And then what happened? You know, the mistake grew up and continued, and to God, flood up the whole earth and start all over again. He could have started all over again when Noah was saved with his 8 kids. What, right? With 8 family members. But because he saw love and Noah, he was able to start all over again, the promise from the beginning. He didn't keep up. So why would you keep up on him? He didn't keep up on knowing that we will come out to the understanding that we need him. So he still loves us. Even though he gets mad, I cannot believe how parents deal with kids. You know, I had my grandsons for this last weekend, and man, it's a lot of work. I forgot. They were there 3 days with me. I forgot how hard it is, and I'm like, oh, I remember why I only had 2 kids. I don't want to do that again. So I feel it for you young people, but it's okay. It goes fast. And you know what? You will care for your kids because you love them. And you will forgive them what they do to you because you love them. That's God. That's how God see us. We make mistakes and mistakes over and over again. And he loves us and he forgives us. You know, there's a scripture here that I mark here in Ezekiel 9, chapter 9, verse 3 and 4, and it says, and the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherubims whereupon he was to the threshold of the house. And he called to the men clothed with linen, which had the writing Zichron by his side. And the Lord say unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men, the sigh and the cry for all the abomination. I'm going to read it again. Sorry. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of men, the sigh and the cry for all the abomination that be done in the midst thereof. When he commanded this angel, I believe, to go and try and find people who was worthy of the mark. Can you imagine if he sends someone to do the same thing these days that we're living right now? Do you think that he will find someone who is worthy to receive that mark in his forehead? And it almost makes me cry that I don't think he will find that many. He will not find that many. Because we're living in the last day, and in the last days he said that man's heart will grow cold. And you can see it. It's everywhere. There's so much evil going on under the table, and some other ones above the table, they want to shove it on you to admit it, to receive it, to acknowledge it, to accept it, to be normal. And it's just normal. But in God's eyes, it's not normal. It's not normal. He will not find that many people to put a mark. And if you continue reading that chapter, and destroy, he says, and destroy the ones without the mark. Those are the days that we are living. So by us having this opportunity to be here, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. And if you feel persecuted because you believe, it is a blessing, and you should consider yourself blessed. Because obviously, they know who you are. They know who you are. Matthew 5:14-16. So you are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel for a candlestick, and give it light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Be who you are. Show the light of Christ, love. It's okay to act crazy. When it's needed. but being with friends, you know, especially with friends surrounded by friends from church, you know, we know who you are. But when you are in the world, this is what Christ is talking about here. You know, when you are outside of this comfort zone, you know, show who you are. And so by your works, they will know you. They will know you. We have work. We have work to do here in our own stay, in our own country. We have work, so much work. Before you think about, you know, cleaning other people's house, we have to clean this house. And there's so much to be done. There's so much to be done. And this is what it's talking about here. You know, when the opportunity comes, like a lot of our brothers go to other countries, but for this is our house. And we have to care for our house first. In Acts 15:36-41. In some days, after Paul saying to Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brothers in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark, but Paul thought not good to take him with him, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them. See, that's something that we have to work on that. You know, at the end, this guy, John, he did a really good job. We don't have the same gifts, the same talents. We all have different talents. Some of them are really good up there, outside the country, outside this house. But with the ones that we are here, we have to do the best we can. We have to do our job and never, never think the worst about your brother. Instead, we have to lift ourselves up and love for each other. And love for each other. The blessings are great, but we have to do more than that. Remember when Alma was in the midst of, you know, with the wrong group. And so by him being dead, and the first time that he heard the word, he accepted God working his heart right away. He accepted. So the willingness to be able and to accept the word, God will make that seed grow on you. I mean, we've been hanging out with friends, me and my brother, as we go and do our activities. We know there's a line that we cannot cross. And so a lot of the times I can see the faces of others when they see they do not follow with what, you know, is being said, talking about, whatever. They know that we are Christians, that we are followers of Christ. So here maybe our brother Paul, jumped, instead of giving him a second chance, he did not want him to go with him for what he did. We are not perfect. We are sinners. But what is worth more to Christ is that we are willing to do his will. Maybe not the best way you're expecting. Maybe you don't like a lot of how other people preach, but we are willing to do it for you and to keep the flock together and to continue on strong for our beliefs and for what we have, and always acknowledge God for the things that he has done. So this is my last sleep. Okay, so in Mosiah, this is what I'm talking about, Alma, Mosiah 9:43-44, and now it came to pass that Alma took Helaman, being one of the first, and went and stood for in the water, and cried out, saying, O Lord, pour out thy spirit upon thy servant, that he may do his work with holiness of heart. See, what Alma says here after he's been chased by the servants of King Noah, I believe, and being persecuted by him because, you know, the words of Abinadi touched his heart, softened his heart. And that's how, for those new people that maybe they've never been here or they've been coming to church, they don't understand much of the gospel in general, leave it to Christ, leave it to God. Open your heart, and he will work on you like he worked on me. I was not born in the church, but through the many years that I've been here, God has worked in my heart. And it's all it takes is for you to acknowledge his word and to open up his heart, your heart, and he will work on you. That is just how it works. And that's how you become part of Israel. Part of this tribe, Joseph, that is the people of God. That's how you become part of his people. It's amazing. So what Alma is doing here after being persecuted by King Noah, trying to kill him, he is, in his loneliness, he is reading, studying. It's amazing how he was able to remember what Abinadi was preaching to them, and he was able to write it down and memorize it and pass it on to those who were willing to repent and come to Christ. And so what it says here, if you notice, he asked permission for that special gift of the Holy Ghost, which is give him the authority to do what we do right now, to bring you word, to baptize you, to be part of his kingdom. It's amazing what it says here, and I'm going to finish up. And when he had said these words, the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and he said, Helaman, I baptize you, having authority from the Almighty God, as a testimony that you have enter into a covenant to serve him until you are dead. See, that's a very, very important verse right there. Especially these days, you know, the people, so their churches, they're thinking about retirement before. But when you come to serve God, it's no retirement. It's to serve him to the end. And we have seen it for many, many of our ministers in this church. They preach the gospel, they share the gospel, until they are gone. Yes, they are very important pillars in this church, and I pray in God, in Christ, that he works in other people's heart, that you may step forward and continue to do his work, to continue to fill up this church, not just with kids from new couples, but with more people. Multiply. Continue sharing the gospel, that we may see these pews full. Again, this is our house. This is our building. This is our country. And that will be something that you be doing, we be doing, not alone. But I know and I understand that what I say right now, God can hear me and he will help us. This is a desire that we have, that we may continue. Let me tell you something. The day or the week that many of you went to Missouri, no one was here. No one was here. There was only a few people. There was no potluck. The service was over, and the church got closed. The doors got closed. There was no one here. I don't want to see this in the future. We cannot close these doors. We have to keep them open. But seeing that is a concern. And we have to do something about it. That's all I can say, I guess. I thank you so much for your time. And I hope this was a blessing to you today.